Indeed. So today is Wednesday, the 12th of December. We're sitting on board Indulgence with Aidan Heffernan and Dennis Nagel. We are in the middle of the arc. We're actually 2 days out to the finish. We've just got about 350 nautical miles to go. It's very exciting because we've been out at sea now for how long is it? 12 days, guys?
No, 15. Today, we believe.
15 today, you see? I don't even know where the time is.
15 days. I don't know if it was 15 yesterday or 15 today, but either way.
Either way. So I was just going to ask Aidan a few questions, I suppose mainly about the boat. Aidan, tell us a bit about Indulgence, what kind of boat she is, how long you've had her and things like
that. It's a Daler 36, and I've had it since 2005 approximately. It was a boat show boat in Southampton, for the Southampton show in 04 actually, September 04, but I got it later that year, almost into 05. And when I bought it, actually, the guy I was in the UK asked me to become the Irish agent for Daler, so I did some work for Daler over the last good few years. It's a stoop, a Bermudan stoop, has about three cabins in the main saloon.
Mm-hmm.
Where I sleep, actually, you've probably heard reference to the coffin before. It's a very dark area, which I think I was one of the first people to ask for that modification in the boat. It's normally a sail storage area. But I like it, and like today when it's sweltering hot, the sun is beating down, it's quite dark in there, so you can actually
despite sleep. The fact you have no natural light or anything, you're comfortable in there.
I am, yeah. I know you. Nobody believes me.
Strange as it is.
I sort of am. You have one porthole, and it's fine. It's grand. The reality is, I told you this a couple of nights ago, I wouldn't ask anybody else to go in there.
Okay.
It's
as
simple as that.
Excellent. So sailing, I suppose, has been a huge part of your life, and you've done loads of racing and cruising, including to Biscay and lots of racing around Cork Harbour. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we use this boat quite an awful lot. We prepare this boat in March, and we launch in April, and we go to Kinsale normally through the April leagues, come back to Crosshaven, do Thursday night sailing, maybe Friday night sailing, and racing then Saturday and Sunday pottering. And then we, you know, Cork Week coming around, you might have Sovereigns Week, Sovereigns Cup. And in June we normally go cruising. That's been to France, Spain mainly. And Dennis, John and I have done that on quite a number of occasions. So yeah, we're going all the time. It's my only hobby, I suppose, really. And I seem to spend enough of time across Asia.
And your family are involved a lot as well in sailing, aren't they?
The wider family are, yeah. But I mean, my son and daughter, they sail when they're around, and Robert and the boat joining us later on, I think, a couple of weeks' time. Well, less than a couple of weeks' time. And my extended family, yeah. There's a lot of Hefferns in the yacht club, and they seem to. There's a couple of boats there. Brian Heffernan, John Heffernan, Ray
in
the boatyard.
There seems to be
and Ian did an amazing journey recently all the way from New Zealand, Sydney. Back to Crosshaven,
yeah.
Took him 2 years or something.
And he went the wrong way around, didn't he? He went through the Pacific and across the Atlantic rather than the other way, which was...
And interesting enough, I was in a boat the same size as this, is only 36 feet. It's an Eventide 36, an older fashioned boat now, but it's just interesting they're both the same size. So yeah, this undertaking, you know, we hatched this idea last June, 12 months.
All right. June, coming back from a trip to Galicia last year.
Because John said he was going to the Ark, and John had just retired, I was about to retire, and he kind of threw the gauntlet down by saying he was going to do an Ark on whatever boat. And
yeah, he was going to, when he came back, he was going to basically find the boat, a suitable boat, to do the Ark. And I think your immediate response was...
Would Indulgence be
up to this boat can do the Ark. Now it was a balmy, but it was a day and a half in of a 3.5-4 day trip. It was quite a balmy day, and we were sitting out relaxing, so the conversation kind of probably a very slow conversation that developed over.
He was kind of planting a couple of seeds and sussing it out.
Absolutely.
But I suppose it turned out to be kind of, we were questioning what would be involved.
What's involved?
And all that, and
the time scale.
John already had a good idea at that stage what would be involved.
And had you, like, in your mind even thought that Indulgence would be able to do a trip like this? Had you kind of, like, preempted that you would do an Atlantic crossing, or was it just literally kind of spur of the moment decision
It was almost spur of the moment. When I bought this boat, I never envisioned I would do a trip as long as this, you know. I was quite happy to go on to Spain and France and Sillies and race around Cork Harbour, go to West Cork Skull. No, I never thought I'd be doing it for as long as this venture.
That's interesting. And you mentioned it was John, Dennis and yourself that were on board, and I've certainly noticed kind of sailing with you guys over the last few weeks that there's a really good kind of dynamic and a good balance between the crew. So how did you guys actually come to sail together and...
I think
it was your own story of meeting John.
Yeah, we've been saying that quite a long time. John going way back to my previous boat, Argus. I put a notice in the yacht club. It's almost like a clip from a U2 video, like where I wanted a band member to join the band, and I met him. I distinctly remember the day in the yacht club when I met him. I was with my sister Rose, I think, and I don't know who else was there, but John was there, and we just hit it off straight away. And as he explained in the previous interview with Jolene, I think he had the time, and I had the boat. He was in the army at the time, but he, you know, he obviously had weekends off more often than not, and you know he was available.
Yeah.
So we just hit it off, and it's been a great.
But there's a good
partnership since, you know.
As well as what I mean is like there's a good kind of a dynamic balance between the crew as well. Like, you know, everyone's got kind of different skills that kind of like bounce off each other, and there's a good kind of camaraderie on the boat as well. Well, that's certainly what I noticed anyway.
There is. I think that has honed over the trips we've done to France and Spain and over the years, like, you know. And it was obvious to me, you know, if I was going to do this, it would be Dennis, John and I would be, and then, you know, we obviously wanted a fourth person.
So and I guess the lucky one.
Yeah,
we were the lucky one.
Well, just to explain, the reason the fourth person was, first of all, the watch system works much better because you have 2 hours on and perhaps 6 hours off, which is like being at home, which is great. And secondly, if somebody got ill, that was my main concern, because there was only three of us here and somebody got hurt or whatever, well, then you've only two people. And that's a big ask. Like,
it's a big chore for a long period of time. It is, yeah. Under you know, the conditions.
This was never going to be less than, you know, 17 or 18 or 19 days, so it's quite a long time to see with one person down. Now.
I suppose that would kind of bring us naturally on to my next question, which is that this is Indulgence's longest passage. It's the first time that you've done an ocean crossing. Surely there must have been a lot of preparations in terms of getting the boat ready. Tell us a little bit about what you needed to do to get the boat ship shape.
Yeah, there was, and we've been working this since last January, or January 12th rather, yeah, almost 12 months. And so the power is the main thing. From day one, the power consumption on the boat, to run the auto helm, the fridge if you wanted it every now and then, all the navigation lights, the rain plotters, etc. And we looked at wind power, wind generators, solar power, and looked at beefing up the engine alternator or get a battery management system. And we spent ages, actually. I must have downloaded every article on solar power and wind generation.
Really?
Yeah. But like, in the end, we decided, look, I wanted to go the boat, go back to Crosshaven and race the following week. I didn't want all these things hanging off it, like, you know. So in the end, I decided I would probably get this. It's called a Master Volt battery management system that gets more power to the batteries out of the same alternator.
Okay.
And that's what we plumbed for, and it has worked quite well. There's John Hanley looking through the hatch. I'll show him. He wants the hat.
He's looking for his hat, I think.
And all right. Oh yeah.
John, it's quite hot out there at the moment. It's about 32 degrees. It's probably our hottest day so far.
It is, yeah. It's absolutely baking outside.
Baking.
So power management was the big thing. And, you know, we having done 15 odd days, whatever, we seem to have cracked that. We're starting the engine for maybe 1.5 hours in the morning. For not for propulsion, because there's loads of wind and loads of speed. It's just purely to charge the batteries. And we do that twice a day in the morning and the evening. And we're able to run the fridge for, you know, a good few hours during the day. And certain things are coming out of it cool. So that worked fine.
Yeah. I suppose there's been a few kind of challenges as well in terms of, like, you know, budgeting the right amount of water to bring on board. I suppose kind of provisions and things like that we've all had to think about quite a lot.
Yeah.
Coming up to the trip.
Yeah. Diesel was probably the easiest one because we've used very, very little diesel. I think we might have used maybe
40 litres
in total to date. So we've absolutely loads and loads of diesel.
We brought probably about 300 litres.
We did. And thanks very much to Martin Kiley for lending us his diesel drums. They're very helpful. And by the way, talking about modifications, Martin was very, very helpful in helping us with the life raft.
You
can hear all the background noise there.
At the moment.
Oh my God. The life
if it wasn't for it, it would be in the water by now.
The life raft story, Jerry, and the shower... what you call that? The timber train, the shower,
and some of the kind of all carpentry down the back for
all
storage.
The diesel was fantastic, yeah. You know, really, thank you.
I guess there's been quite a lot of people that have kind of helped you.
There have, yeah. Besides the four of us, like, you know, Des McWilliams has been very helpful as well in one sales, Crosshaven. He serviced all our sales and gave me a nice present of a small, which we've actually used, Dennis, Des, thank you. The sale repair bag came out and had a very, very, very professional small. It was where the main sale was touching the either the spreaders or the shrouds, so there was a couple of small holes, so we just patched those yesterday, 2 days ago I think. That worked very well, thank you. No, but I mean we're running with the same sales that we had all the time. The only extra is we bought a spare Genoa, which we were going to pull out. What we're running with at the moment, by the way, is a debrief in a main with a preventer on it. The further then with the Genoa is furled up. I don't know what percentage is furled up, but
at the moment it's probably, there's only a third of it probably.
Maybe a third, out, whatever.
Okay.
And there's a spirit pole is on that, and there's a preventer on that, or a guy on that. So we're quite straight jacket, really. It's working very, very well. So we haven't actually used this. Our plan B was to take the main down and fly with two head sails pulled out on each side, using the main, the boom with one pole and the pole on the other side. We haven't got around to that. And Spinnaker, of course, which is all to McWilliam sail, we've only tried it twice. The first day was for maybe 30, 45 minutes, and it was really blowing.
We were feeling brave that day.
We were feeling brave that day. The second day we tried it, yeah, we held up for about 3.5 or 4 hours, maybe 4.5 hours, yeah. I can't remember.
We were getting used to it.
We were getting used to it, but you know, it's very hard to relax with it. It's very hard to relax with it because the seas are massive.
It's a big lumpy sea.
Massive the whole time. From day one, there's been a big sea behind us, and this is a much safer and comfortable setup, I think, than playing around with the spinnaker. And we're doing average. We're averaging 7.5, 8 knots, as far as I can see.
Which is amazing speed. It's amazing.
Yeah, we haven't compromised anything.
It's an amazing speed, yeah.
So looking back, I suppose now on what you needed to do for the boat, getting ready, and you know, bringing things like your spare Genoa. Is there anything that you would have done differently?
Okay, one or two things definitely. It was suggested to me when I was talking to the engine management and the power consumption that I get a bigger alternator in the engine. It's very expensive, 700 or 800 euro or something. And I kind of discounted it because I couldn't really justify that. But between, I think now if my time over, I probably would. Because if you think about it logically, the engine is there, it's pumping out through the alternator the power. But this alternator I have only pumps out about 60 amps an hour. And even you don't get the full amount of that, by the way, there's lots of fall offs in that. I'm not sure what the real figure is, probably more like 40 or 45 amps an hour or something, which isn't an awful lot. It'll run the auto helm in the fridge maybe for, you know, maybe 8 hours or two and something like that. So it really is very tight. So yeah, in hindsight, I probably would have got a bigger alternator to pump more power out of the engine for the same buck, basically.
Okay.
And that would probably have been a better solution. Other than that, not really. Just on the waterfront, Dennis can explain how much water we have, but we bought barrels of water, or 20-25 litre containers. We have 6 in the cockpit here and 2 out in transom, and the tanks were full.
Yeah, we reckon about 400 litres in total.
On the boat, yeah.
And we're probably just going to be, we'll be fine. We're going to be fine on the basis that we're 300 miles away, so we've the best part of 2 days.
Okay. The 400 litres, by the way, it's interesting. You said 20 days, 4 people. What does that divide down to? Who's the accountant here?
I don't know, I'm looking for an accountant.
Come on, 400 days, but it's 100 litres. It's 20, isn't it?
Whoever can send it in the right answer.
then the price for ever work out the daily consumption.
We can put
people on the boat.
We can put it down to exhaust. What's your excuse?
Starting with 400 litres of water. Anyhow, the reality is we're only about 2 days out. And to be perfectly honest with you, the water is almost gone.
So we're pretty glad that we're getting there.
Nobody's going to admit that. But,
the milk is gone.
Yeah. The milk is gone. Our UHD vanished about 2 days ago. So we did cut it tight in certain things, but on by the same token, we've got loads and loads of tin food, and John is the whole storage area for it, and he keeps coming over with
things. There's a market for diesel out here, we wouldn't go shopping.
Yeah, we could sell diesel and tin foods, I suspect. But no, it's worked out fine, and on the fuel and waterfront, but a little bit tight. And there again, I suppose, if anybody else was thinking of doing this, if you had a problem, you know, without water, you got a serious issue, like, you know.
Yeah, you do, I guess.
You know, I mean, if we had no wind, and let's say our engine didn't work or something, if you were stuck out here for another week, like, you'd have some fun.
We'd be under pressure, I reckon. If there was pressure. Another 3 days onto the trip,
yeah,
we'd be under pressure for water.
So, okay, hands up, we cut the water a bit tight.
Well, there you go, you live and learn. So that's what we know from this trip.
Lesson learned.
Suppose we're two and a half days out, pretty excited to get to St. Lucia.
We're all very excited.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're all very excited.
We are.
I mean, like when I used to go to the cities years ago in my previous boat, I used to get excited. When I got to France first time, I was excited. When I got to Spain, I was excited. But this is a different level. Like, this is a real different level. It won't happen again, I don't think, for me anyhow.
What's going to be the first thing you're going to do?
Oh, Lord. You know, really, I suppose I'd love to go for a St. Hormuz swim in the bloody sea.
Oh, that'd be great.
I think we all want to go for a swim, don't we?
After that, well, you take your choice. Beer, cold beer, shower, food.
Cold beer is mine.
And I said to the lads a couple of nights ago, sleeping on a marina in San Lucia is going to be quite bizarre. I suspect we're all going to start waking up at different hours of the night, shouting who's watching this next. You know, it's going to be very strange.
People playing tricks on each
other. I suspect we won't sleep well the first night on the marina. That's what I suspect.
I'd say you could be right. We're just so this clock now of waking up every few hours.
We'll be partying as well, I suspect. Yeah. No, it's fantastic. It really is. As I've been saying from day one in the 21st century, it is quite an adventure, and it has been quite an adventure. And people told me before the Ark that you know, having done the Ark, that you've been at sea, you've been in the Atlantic Ocean,
and you've experienced so much.
Second,
as well.
we have, you know, it's been a very quick passage, quite a rough passage. Other people apparently have been becalmed for days and then other years, but I think you know we enjoyed it. It was tough. It was tough in the boat. Everything worked fine. I don't think we had any serious problem.
The rogue waves is probably the thing that probably upset most of us, in fact, especially, and then mostly came at night time and how to deal with them. And
Like last night, and on my watch, I got a rogue wave out of the blue. I mean, there was nothing there to foretell.
I was pretty glad I had my hatch closed.
Yeah, Jolene has a hatch down now, at floor level in the cockpit, or on the cockpit sole, and the whole cockpit. You know, I got wet, the whole thing pumped, and it takes quite a while to pump out. You couldn't believe we have two large drains. Oh my God, the water was slashing on back there, for a good couple of minutes, you know. So that was kind of scary.
Yeah.
It brought home to me, when those waves hit you, I don't care even if we all wear our harnesses, obviously, at night. Jesus, the force of that, good.
Yeah,
seriously hurt you, It was massive,
There's a lot of power in the sea, isn't there?
Massive power.
The other thing is trying to anticipate the squalls at night time.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have a mean wind speed of say 25, 30 knots, and then you have the squall cloud coming and you're wondering what it's going to bring you, and should you reef, should you take in more heads?
That's correct. And we've been on the edge a good few times. On the edge, I mean 35, 40 knots, maybe more than 40 knots behind you, deep reef in the main, small head sail, but still bombing along at 9.34 knots.
And surfing at a higher
speed.
There's
no room there for any kind of issues, anything went wrong. My God, it's unthinkable, The power, I don't know, I was amazed at the power of the boat, and the elements started pushing the boat, and it brought home to me definitely once or twice, my God, if something goes wrong here, we're in serious trouble.
But, touch wood.
No, it didn't.
Nothing has gone wrong.
300 miles to go.
We're all touching wood.
And we're certainly looking forward to it.
300 miles is a daddle. God damn it, 300 miles is a daddle.
It's halfway around Ireland.
It is, yeah.
I think we all started to relate it to our biscuit trips.
We did, yeah.
And once we got under that 500 miles, we thought, all right, they're very manageable.
Chunks
to put up with in various conditions or whatever.
Yeah, but even last night I was saying to, I think it was Jolene, I can't remember who I said to, but I think I've only two more night watches left perhaps, but they've been quite special, a bit of a chore, but quite special being up there watching the stars and all that at night, and nobody on the horizon anyway around, so they've been quite an experience, and they've passed very, very quickly. And it's important to grab onto them and appreciate them, enjoy them,
I think they've all blended into one, and the time has been fast. I think there was one time, Barry, where it all slowed down for the whole of us, when we passed the 1,000-mile mark.
That's right, yeah. That's
and basically everyone thought, two-thirds of the journey, we're nearly there.
Yeah.
In retrospect, I think it was the next morning that people realised, we've got a big chunk of this journey still to go. And I think for that day, I think things just slowed. That was about 4 days long, that one day.
We had a 1,000-mile party, that's 1,000 miles to go party one night, and it was very, very enjoyable. But definitely, I found the following day that we were kind of running like zombies,
I think
saying, Jesus,
we
have 1,000 miles to go.
I don't think it was 1,000 miles to go.
You mean we're not here yet? Oh, Lord. Look, whatever. It's been great.
Anyway,
it's been great.
We'll leave it at that. Thanks a million, guys. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it too. And I think we've learned quite a lot about indulgence.
Can I thank Eric and Niall, by the way? They supplied me with the second Genoa, which I haven't actually used. Desmond did the modification on it. We haven't used it, and we probably may not even use it. And secondly, they gave me a 35-pound CQR anchor, which is going to be our main anchor out there. Thank you for that as well. And we'll be seeing you guys shortly.
We should
nod, wink.
We should mention the man who's up above.
We forgot.
I think we all agree that John is the anchor man for the trip from a boat and organisation.
Absolutely.
And even out here, he's pretty rocky.
Have you said it from day one, like, or day one minus 12 months? John would, this would not have happened without John. He had the time to put the energy and into it. And Dennis and I were working away. And Jolene and we were kind of getting emails like, lads, we got to work in this. We got to move something here.
In fairness, now he's been a bit rough, really.
I personally had no time to really devote to this. I was working until the Friday night before Dennis and I left at 8 o'clock that night. We left on the Saturday morning by plane. So I've had very little time to put into this. The heavy lifting, and John did all that.
It wouldn't have happened without John.
That's all about it. Yeah. There's no way in hell I could have justified this on my own.
Yeah.
What would I do on the other side? I mean, I'd nearly have to take 9 months off work, which is not going to happen. So, John is the man.
John is the man.
Well done, John.
Finish with that.
All right, we'll leave it with that. Thanks a million, guys.
I didn't do these things at all.